Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Here we are.
So, all right, you go first because you're on injured reserve.
Oh my God, I can't even express. So remember the last time for the listeners, the last time we all were together was a beautiful Saturday that I was talking about what a lovely time I was having in Alameda. Yeah. I was looking forward to the two shows that night.
Yeah.
I had going to have lunch with my friend. I did. It was delicious. And then I go to the club. I do the first show. I walk out the back stairs of the show to sell merch out the back steps. I slip on the first step, fall down six cement steps, and land on the back of my head. And I'm just lying there, and I hurt this pinky, and not that bad, right? And I clonked myself on the back of the head so hard. I did not pass out, to my knowledge. No witnesses, of course, so there's no reason to burst into tears.
Oh, fuck. No one saw?
I know it. No footage.
Security cam footage, at least.
but the next thing, I'm lying there just thinking, fuck, because it hurts.
And this is after the first show, so you have another show, right?
I have another show. And so the waiter who comes out, he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no. No, I'm not.
And you don't know me, but I don't normally lay on the ground.
So. I don't usually fall down a flight of stairs backwards. And so... Then Patrick Ford, the owner of the Alameda Comedy Club, is like, should I call an ambulance? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Unless, is there blood? And so
you said how many tickets were sold for the second show?
Come on, right. Well, I mean, the real thing is I didn't man up and sell merch. Though once I did get to my feet, I did take a couple of pictures with people who wanted pictures. So I took a couple.
They're collector's items because your eyes are dilated.
Right. They checked on, you know, the dilated eyes. And I think Patrick Ford was like, what's your name? What's the date? And this type of thing. And then, you know, I'm not, the only thing that's bad is I have a goose egg on the back of my head. Mm-hmm. The rest of me is fine. I go back in. I sit down. As soon as I sit down, just waves of shock start to hit me. By the time I'm up, right before I go up, I go up to Patrick and I'm like, I think I'm only going to do 40. And he goes, is it because I paid you early? 3 points for Patrick Ford. And I was like, yes, that is exactly why. And so I do the 40 in the middle of my set. I literally have to sit down because I'm slightly dizzy and there's a stool, obviously. And I sit down and I'm like, I'm going to do the second half of this set like Bill Cosby, sans roofies and rape. And got a pretty good laugh, did the set,
yeah.
Got off stage. The feature drove me back to the hotel. As he drops me off, he's like, hey, man, you know, you have my number. If you don't feel well anytime in the next couple hours, I will come back. We will figure this out. And I'm like, okay. And
were you worried about a concussion? Like, did you?
Yes, I was terrified.
Right.
I was terrified.
You don't want to sleep on that. You know,
that's what happened. And so I packed like I always do because I'm traveling the next day. I'm all packed, mm-hmm. Got my clothes out for the next day. Everything's except for my day pack is almost a couple items of my day pack. And as I'm getting everything ready, I'm like, nope, going to go to the hospital. Can't go to sleep. Won't be able to go to sleep. Think I'm never going to wake up. Feel like right. I'm never going to wake up, Laurie.
Yeah.
And so I call Andy.
That's my dream, by the way.
Is that you go in your sleep?
Yeah.
It's,
let me just never wake up. That's what I pray every night.
You know, I've got that new bit I'm working on about what my, anyway, but, yeah. So I call Andy and I'm like, you know, I'm just afraid that I'm gonna, you know, just die in my sleep, you know,
right.
This feels insensitive, so I'll be typing it.
Oh, let me see.
I shared it with the thread.
Sure. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was going to pull one of that mm-hmm. and never wake up and die. And I said to Andy, it should take you at least 9 to 11 months to find somebody to replace me. And I assume you'll dry your tears with my sound exchange money. And he goes, well, thank God you got the new album in Under the Wire then.
He knows where his bread is buttered.
That was after I left the hospital. So I drive to the hospital.
So what
telling,
time is it?
I'm it's telling like this. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Ugh. And so Patrick actually comes and picks me up because he's closer to me than the feature. And he takes me to the Kaiser over in Oakland because that's right. my insurance. Mm-hmm. And
that's a good Kaiser.
It was a perfectly good Kaiser. He was not allowed to come in. And I said, you know, if you want, you can go home and I'll just take a lift back to the hotel if everything's okay. And I'll just text you either way if they check me in, if there's some sort of problem. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm going to sit in the parking lot. And I have a book. I have my phone. I'm fine. So he sat in the parking lot for an hour and a half.
Aww.
And he was so good on the – he just seems super sane.
Oh, that's
for a guy who owns a comedy club. Granted, he's only owned it for 9 months.
Yeah.
It's and then, nice. Yeah. And then he drives me back and he's like, you know, obviously when you get the bill for this, you know, tell me, you know, we'll figure it out.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I was like, yeah, I don't want to tell you about my deductible.
So, no concussion.
No concussion. CT scan clear. I fly home the next day. I feel like I've been hit by a slow-moving truck.
Right.
It takes me like 3 days to get better, right?
Right.
So it is currently Sunday. Yesterday, Saturday. So I feel better on Wednesday. Wednesday, I get my chops back. By Thursday, I'm normal.
Yeah.
Friday's fine. Saturday, just yesterday, I take the dog for a walk. I'm walking off a curb a block and a half away from my house. And I miss the step and I take a header and I jam this pinky again. Thanks. Still works. But now I'm lying there and I have twisted my ankle.
Oh no.
And it is the size of a softball.
Do you think the misstep was related to your fall? Like maybe you're just a little off? No.
Well, I think I'm a little off, but I think I'm also like when I went back to work, I think I just hit the ground running. I just think that I've just been going for
amount of travel. Yes.
Right. Too much travel, not enough.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, so I'm in front of a house when I fall.
Mm-hmm.
The woman in the yard who owns the house runs into her house. or just walks away from me into her house. Well, because obviously this is some sort of zombie apocalypse trap to get her out from behind her fence.
What a neighbor.
Asshole. Homeowner. Two houses down, I had walked by a gardener who said hi to the dog, and I was high back. He comes over, and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, again, no, this is not... So I was like, I think I twisted my ankle pretty bad. And he picks it up, my ankle, like a chiropractor and starts doing this and pulling on him. And I'm like, no. And literally, I'm like, you're a gardener.
Hey, dude, it's not a weed. Okay. You can't pull it.
And then I stand up and he's like, you got to do this exercise. You got to do this exercise. And then, but he can't, you know, there's no one to drive. So I got to hobble. It takes me 10 minutes to get home. The dog, by the way, is not Lassie. There's Gordy will not be sent for help.
Lassie, Gordy didn't go get help.
No, Gordy did not go get help. So this is yesterday, Saturday. I have two sets. One, the cool Don't Tell Comedy down in Venice.
Right.
And a set at the Improv. I'm sitting there going, it's just getting bigger and it's swelling up. I've taken Advil. I've got ice on it. I'm doing Arnica. It's getting bigger anyway. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to cancel the sets. So I cancel the sets, immediately regretting that I've canceled the sets.
Wait, so which shows did you cancel?
The Don't Tell set down in San Monica.
Oh, in Venice. Oh, yeah,
in Venice, yeah. And then the Improv, Hollywood Improv. I recommended you for both.
And I didn't get a call.
Right, you were already working.
I was working though, but thank you for that.
And then immediately regretted it, saying no. And was just like, you know what, probably by 8 o'clock, this should be down. I should be able to hobble. And so I could barely walk, right? Like, I can't put any pressure really on the heel or the side. My toes are fine. And my, you know, the front part of my foot, like this part of my foot is fine. It's this part of my foot. And the ankle, really. I think I really twisted the ankle.
Did you go to the doctor?
No. I'm just doing the things. What are they going to do? Put an ACE bandage on it?
Becky, Patrick's covering your deductible. Now it's free healthcare. Come on, go to the doctor.
Right. Oh, that's actually not a bad point. Oh, my deductible's so big. I'm so sorry, Patrick. Anyway, but the thing is then I was like I post a picture on Instagram going, I canceled these sets. And so I post a picture of the ankle. I get a text from Maria going, you're not going to San Jose on Sunday to open for me. And I had opened for her in OC and at Flappers. I'd done three shows and I was supposed to do the last show in San Jose. And I was like, no, I'm going to be fine by tomorrow. By tomorrow I can hobble around. And it turns out she is, by the way, correct. She's like, no, it's a paid day off, Jackie. We're going to call it. And so she's going to pay me. The last time she did this, if you'll remember, was when I had a Pokemon up my uterus and had to get the surgery.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And also, I remember.
It was like 4 years ago.
The Pokemon joke at exactly the right time, and it murdered. It was like right when everyone knew about Pokemon, but right before every comic had a reference. And yours was potentially cancer in your body, which was like a perfect. It was all so perfect. I still respect that. I remember seeing that going, oh.
I do remember
how first.
Yeah. That was I got it early on the Pokemon Go. And then I did it on the HBO Two Dope Queens thing. So I was pretty psyched about that.
Oh yeah.
Anyway. So I've decided that I'm just going to sit around the house until Wednesday.
Yeah.
Cause Wednesday night is my first set.
That seems fair.
Right. 3 days where I'm not really doing anything except for hobbling to this garage with Andy found a LARPy.
Oh, all right.
Bought a cane from Alice in Wonderland. I was like, where the hell did you get this cane?
Oh my God, those ears.
And he's nicknamed this cane Cudgel because this thing is made out of brass. It's metal.
It looks very dangerous.
Wait, actually it might be wood. I don't know.
Either way, it's pointy.
It's pointy and very dangerous. Anyway, How was your week?
You were really taken care of by the industry this week. That's a shock. That was very nice.
It was very beautiful all around me. Aaron and Paige were both like, oh my God, take care of yourself. The don't tell guy was like, you are just, no sweat.
Yeah.
And in both cases, all I could think was, God, I hope that they replace me, the one woman, with another woman.
I hope so too.
I don't know what happened, but I hope so.
Let's see, we spoke on Saturday, right?
Yeah, it was a week ago Saturday that we last spoke. And then we did have comedy brunch, but we were sitting far away from each other.
By design, so we wouldn't, burn too many topics, or I wouldn't hear too many details. I think I had 5 spots that night at going back and forth between Broadway and Greenwich Comedy Club. So I was like, it was... I sent in my avails to Rich Brooks and he like loaded me up instantly. So it was like a total Al Martin, weekend. And
who's Al Martin?
He owns, the Broadway and he owns Greenwich Comedy Club and
probably other. Yeah.
Clubs.
Yeah.
So it was just going back and forth between those two rooms. And, but it is a thing where, and then Sunday I had 3 spots at those two rooms.
Wow.
And you start to go insane because you're like, I was just here. And you do need a different room.
Yeah.
So you don't lose your mind. But I didn't spend a ton on cab fare because some of the spots were back to back in the same club.
Yeah.
And so that's nice to keep all that cash.
Right. Then there's the profit margin widens. So yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. So, but I was incredibly sick of myself and what I was saying by Sunday night. And
yeah. That's so many sets. You were just like, it's at least 4 or 5 a night.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so many sets. We have a date to do the Bell House, you and
I. Is that confirmed?
Yeah, I was like, hey, Bruce, is this confirmed? And he's like, yes, January 16th.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's start promoting the fuck out of it. We need right, to really sell it out.
Right, and it isn't that expensive. He was like, what do you think? And I was like, well, it's New York. I don't think, I thought $30, but it's 20.
It's so 20
that's a deal.
Both of us.
Yeah, to see both of us do sets.
10 each. I'm actually insulted. But
I was insulted when you agreed with him.
Sorry. You're the negotiator, not me.
Right. You're like, did they both lowball us? What just happened? And but Bell House on the 16th, it's a Sunday. It's going to be relatively early. And if we could sell it out, maybe we could do another one that night.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And it'll just be a lot of fun if it's sold out. And it's the night before. I think it's
a holiday weekend, right?
Day.
I believe it is.
It's a national holiday, the 17th. So you're not gonna have to go to work.
Yeah.
So
and it's a 7:30 show
in
Brooklyn at the Bell House.
Yeah.
It seats 370.
It would be amazing if we could sell it out. I wonder what the sellout rate will be.
It'd be 350 is sellout because they hold 20 for comps. And
COVID, are they going to space it out a little bit more? Or
I don't know, but I want, don't come if you can't be vaccinated. It won't be safe because we're going to try to sell 350 tickets.
I believe
so
that's
be
the
vaccinated.
Law in New York right now that you have to be
you vaccinated. Have to be vaxxed.
Yeah.
So please. Yeah, and if you aren't vaccinated, for fuck's sake, I read this hilarious McSweeney article today.
Oh, is that Wendy Molyneux?
I don't know. I forget who put I put the link and I quote tweeted it.
Yeah.
I quote tweeted the hell out of it because it made me laugh so much because it was so fucking, it was so full of fucks. That it made me, it just made me laugh so hard. And who wrote it? It was, I am going to check in real time.
She writes for
it is Wendy.
Workers. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Wendy Molyneux.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was so great.
She's her sister. They're like, I'm like, why aren't
they're
you
a delight.
Super famous for just being amazing? Because they're both great comedy writers on a great show.
Yeah.
It's kind of a unique story.
Oh my God. I laughed so hard when Andy read it out loud to me and then I read it to myself again, because there's something like go swim in the ocean and fuck a piranha if you don't get at one point to get instead of getting a vaccination. Okay. So at lunch, Augie Smith, owner of all of the great road stories of the world, because people tell him all of the great road stories with that guy who took care of Paulie Shore's dad.
Right.
When he broke his leg, it did his set anyway, because essentially once I told the story about falling down, people just started telling stories of doing shows sick and hurt. And Augie, of course, always has the topper, man. Yeah. And I guess Pauly Shore's dad had a broken leg and did his set opening for Pauly Shore in Montana. And
in Pauly's defense, where are you going to find another opener in Montana? Okay. It's showtime.
Cowboy
get
Dave.
Out there, get that fucking rabbit cane of Jackie's and do your goddamn time.
Cowboy Dave was there to take care of Paulie's dad. And then Paulie, instead of helping his own dad, gave Cowboy Dave a t-shirt from Son-in-Law. Do you remember that?
Don't be too hard on comics with problematic relationships with their parents, Jackie, okay? Honestly, you're very judgmental.
Yes. Mostly because we're all 50 now and we should have dealt with them.
True.
But you had to live with her. So.
Yes. But I still have dreams where I hear her voice. She wakes me up. Somebody speculated it's because her ashes are still here. We're trying to nail down a date to go up to the place where my dad's ashes are in a niche. You know, they're like, it's like a little apartment building for ashes at a cemetery. And so I was trying to get a Saturday or a Sunday, so it'd be easy for my son to go and my nieces to go. And right. The guy goes, oh, your parents didn't pay for that. They paid through for a Monday through Friday. So, yeah, we're going to have to go on a Friday, and I guess I'll either leave my son in school and he won't go, but I should take him. I think I should take him.
Yeah.
But yeah, then maybe she's haunting the house because she's not in her resting place yet.
We have some of Andy's dad's ashes. He had them all put into, shotgun shells, and hundreds of shotgun shells, by the way. I shot off at least 30 of Clyde into the sky in a shotgun.
That's cool.
And then we still have 10 more of him.
Wow.
in different gauge shotgun shells. Because he trained hunting dogs.
Oh, okay.
And so in the last 25 years of his life, those dogs were his life. He had these pointers.
Same with my dad would train the dogs.
Yeah.
I would like to, I don't even want a nameplate or anything. Just burn me and throw me in some water. Maybe the local, not the ocean like everybody else, but maybe the lap swim pool that I go to. Right?
How about it gets you, your ashes get compressed and made into a filter? You're like, because you would love to be recycled. Because that is one of your dreams, I think, to use every part of Lori Kilmartin.
Yes, use every part of the buffalo that I am. Thank you. No, I'd like to be put in the lane 8 because that's where I was. I was never in the fast lane. And then, you know what? I'll just live on YouTube, okay? That's where my son can visit me. I contacted Esty about maybe working
the Vegas?
In Vegas, you know? And she's like, I haven't seen you in so long. I need a tape.
Did you learn nothing? Did you learn nothing from me? You're just like, Jackie grinded it out. It might be less horrible in
honestly,
the cellar.
Wait, no, you go, when someone tells you about a gig that's awful, like party, half of you is like, that's awful. And the other half is like, I would love to work that.
You are so right, because I just talked to Carmen and Katie today. Carmen Morales, Katie Bruce. They're both Comics of the Week.
Yeah.
They're doing a run, right? They're finishing some run that they're doing on the Eastern Seaboard. And they were just in some podunk town in, I feel like it was in Kentucky or somewhere. And they had five shows
in one town.
Yeah, it was, I will type just because they said it was horrible. Right.
Yeah.
And, as soon as they said, a typo, but, as soon as they said where it was, I was like, oh, I've always wanted to do that shitty room, even though I have been told that it's a shitty room forever. And they said,
I heard it was a good room. No.
Who did you? No, well, I have never heard that it's a good room. There were six
Adam
people
May,
at one show.
Back in the 90s.
Okay, yeah. I think that Rontowski used to do it in the 90s, and she was like, it's okay.
Okay.
But it's a bit of a – Carmen said that they actually had a table of carnies who were crushing their White Claw cans in between jokes.
What? Oh my God, that's insane.
Yeah. And I was like, I could probably do that room.
Yeah, why are we
literally the next thought?
That, you know?
I don't know.
That's like, I think most comics are like that too. Like you want to test it for yourself. Like I'll tell you if it's a bad room or not.
Right. And I think it was you, not the room. And then Maria very literally. Maria the other night said, literally, don't tough it out to go to San Jose tonight.
Oh,
she was
I
like,
see.
Don't tough it out. And I was like, but that's what we do. We tough it out. And there's some sort of weird self-esteem that we get from that. But I have to remember that I'm the grown-up. And I don't have to tough it out. I could actually make an adult decision. But I interrupted you. But would you?
So you didn't work the cellar. You worked a different room where you had your horrible weekend.
Laugh Factory.
But, yes.
Laugh Factory. And only one bad night.
Right. So I meant like just the, you know, the whole, the aura of being backstabbed by your, the feature and stuff like
that. Oh, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so and, I didn't even necessarily blame the room for that, that whatever.
Yeah.
But the cellar, you know, I'm like, ah, you know, that
they're. And everyone's doing 20s at the cellar.
Yeah, it sounds fun, right?
Yeah, it sounds more showcasey, yeah.
Yeah, so, but she wanted a tape, and I'm like, okay. And then now I'm like, oh, I'll get her a tape in 10 years. Like, because then no tape is good enough, right? It's, you know, I had a set at Flappers and it was a good set. And then I was like, yeah, but I did that one joke and she's probably going to go, oh, you can't do that joke in Vegas. And I would go, I would never do that joke in Vegas. Then why was it on the tape? Like, you know what I mean? I just went through all that in my head.
Yeah, so. You went through all that in your head instead of just sending her links to 3 Conan sets and go, here's 3 Conan sets.
Just two. I'm not you. I'm headlining at Flappers in October. So, you know what I can do is just get all those recordings. I always say this like I'm going to do it and it's no big deal. Then I'll just pick chunks and go, here's a sample 20. This is probably what I do at your club or something like this, you know. And there you go. If you want it, you know how to reach me. Because, you know, it seems like it'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't think you need to do as much as that. I think you could just send her links to TV sets and a couple of TV sets and go, I can get you this 20-minute set in about a month if you want to see what I would actually be doing.
Okay. Yeah, maybe
just, because just to remind, just to keep her in the loop, right? You're just like, of course I could do it.
Now and then go, but this is a couple years old, so I'm headlining at this room and I'll record them and I just send you one if you want to see a full set that was, you know, minutes old.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
The new thing, it's like I've been going to New York every weekend, once a month, except for during the pandemic. So, you know, I just haven't been working her club, but I, you know, it's not like I disappeared completely. I just haven't been working the cellar rooms.
Right. It's not like, well, I mean, the thing is of the, let's see, you were there for a little over a week. You did approximately 20 sets.
I was there for three nights and did 14 sets.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have had time to do her room.
No. It's like, I wouldn't be able to pop over unless they had a, even the next weekend I'm there in the October 8th and 9th, I'm already loaded up completely unless someone's got a midnight plus show or a 6:30 PM show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to New York in January and,
yeah, me too.
That'll be fun, I think. And,
I tweeted some political tweet, right? And someone, a comic friend of ours, wait, you know this guy, right?
I hope so.
You know him, right?
Oh yeah,
I love him, right?
Yeah, so he's all right.
Yeah,
he's usually all right.
He goes, oh look, you know, Vinny Brand replied to your tweet, and I'm like, oh boy,
is that the Stress Factory guy?
Yes. And I've only worked at Stress Factory once, and Craig Robinson was headlining, and it was very stressful because there was musical gear all over the place. Okay, that's the only time I've ever worked at the Stress Factory. He never liked me, so I don't really have besides saying hello to Vinny, and you know, I can be polite to him, but
distantly polite to Vinny Brand. Yes,
yes, and doesn't like it. Doesn't seem to, you know, whatever.
That's, it has it hasn't
relationship
ever
with a lot of people, right?
Same.
So this guy's like, oh, I guess you're not going to work the Stress Factory now. I'm like, no, I don't. And he suggested that maybe some outspoken liberal comics aren't getting work because of their politics. And I'm you know what? I'm getting so much not work because I'm a woman. I can't even factor in my politics.
Right, right, right.
I don't even worry about that. I mean,
reasons for not work are full. We've already
exactly. Sell your wares elsewhere. Because,
exactly. It's so somebody was telling me, so I was I'm in this other thing, right? So I'm in this sort of, and this guy,
right,
was there, and everyone's like, well, you should try to get in with that guy for his club. And I was like, I don't want to network right now. I don't want to network when I'm just trying to just chill out, right? Like, right.
Did his club close anyway?
I think it did, and now there's pop-ups and stuff. I don't think it'll be closed forever and stuff.
Okay.
The big clubs, like when we did, I did Irvine with Maria, right?
Right.
So it seats probably 400. Maria asked for people to wear masks in the OC. Many of them did. The whole front area, which probably seats 125, was full.
Yeah.
The second area, which seats another 125, was half full. And I guess, and we did two shows. Wait, and no, that was Flappers. Whatever.
What night was that?
Wednesday we were in Irvine. Thursday we were in Flappers.
That's amazing for a weeknight during a pandemic. That's incredible.
Yeah. There was a guy in the front row who I guess comes to the Irvine every week. And he is a guy in his late 70s, early 80s. He's wearing a 3-piece suit, except for no jacket, just the vest and the pants.
Right.
They both look denim. He's wearing a short sleeve t-shirt. He's super dapper old guy, right?
Yeah.
And he always comes with a different call girl. He comes with an escort.
Oh my God.
And he sits in the front row, according to the manager, who is a lovely man. I was telling me, he said, yeah, he comes every, because he gets his bill right when the show starts. So he buys whatever his date is, one drink or two drinks. And he's like, and then he takes the bill so that she knows that she can't have any more, I guess.
Oh my God. I loathe and love him. I mean,
so he gets the bill. I don't know all this, right? I'm just on stage doing my set. I'm only doing 25 minutes opening for Maria. So I'm 10, 15 in, and he is staring at his phone. And I'm like, old guy staring at his phone. I'm going to let him stare at his phone. He must have got a text message. Like 100 seconds go by. And finally, I just go, hey, man, you're in the front row. You got to put that phone down. And I can totally see you. I know this is, you're just out in the world.
Right.
Because he's glaring at me now. And I'm just talking now. And I'm just like, is it your first time out in the world? I know that we're all just sad that we're not on Zoom or whatever, but I can totally see you. And so he puts it down and then he goes, oh, so now I can't look at my phone during the show.
Yeah.
I was like, three times they made an announcement, two announcements and in the video, which was almost entirely about Jeff Ross and Ian Bagg, by the way, the video. and then the old guy goes, I can't even look at my calculator.
What?
And I said, we're both 100 years old. We know how to tip people. Just give 20s until you run out of 20s, man. We're in a pandemic.
Yeah, you know, using their calculator, like just figure it out and then round up a little. You don't have to get down to the cents. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's very weird. Anyway, let's do a break.
We have wasted this world. Our magic put a storm in the sky that has rendered the surface of our planet uninhabitable. But beneath the surface, well, that's another story entirely. In a city built leagues below the apocalypse, survivors of the storm forge paths through a strange new world. Some seek salvation for their homeland above. Others seek to chart the vast undersea expanse outside the city's walls. And others still seek what else? Fortune and glory. Dive into the Aether Sea, the latest campaign from the Adventure Zone, every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Green Chef makes cooking easy with dinner options that work for your lifestyle, not the other way around. I love Green Chef. I told you guys it got me into cooking, you know, for me anyway. They give you very detailed but easy instructions. You can't mess up. You pour things that they give to you in the right places, and you have a great meal. I mean, all the ingredients are handpicked. They're delivered right to your door, contact-free. You let Green Chef do the meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep for you week after week. You can enjoy clean ingredients you can trust, seasonally sourced for peak freshness. Discover new recipes every week so you never feel bored with your dinner. Go to greenchef.com/JackieLaurie100 and use the code JackieLaurie100 and get $100 off, including free shipping. That's greenchef.com/JackieLaurie100 and the code JackieLaurie100 for $100 off.
I love the fish.
Yeah.
I never buy fish, and now I'm willing to buy fish because they had enough, and the instructions are super simple. They got pictures. They're idiot proof, quite honestly. And
they really
so
are. I'm proof because I'm an idiot.
Greenchef.com/JackieLaurie100 and code JackieLaurie100 for $100 off.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, this ad is for Beta Brand, and Beta Brand makes fancy looking like dress workout. Like, I have a pair of dress sweatpants that they're really kind of groovy looking and everything. So they're work clothes, but comfortable, right? So ready for work and deciding if today's professional day or comfortable day. Thanks to Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants, your polished work clothes and your comfy clothes are one and the same. So Beta Brand has dress pant yoga pants, and they're designed with the fit and flexibility of yoga pants, but they look like professional dress pants. There's tons of different styles. I got stripy ones. They're super cool. And I got bells. They have straight leg, skinny, cropped, bootleg. I also got a pair of bootlegs. Nice. And colors from classic black to fun prints like houndstooth. And even they even come in denim styles. So I really love it. They have pockets, of course. And well, they ought. We all deserve pockets. Even women deserve pockets. We're talking comfort and function. No more fake pockets that are sewn shut. These pants are designed for people who need real pockets. So right now, Jackie Laurie fans get 30% off their Beta Brand orders when they go to betabrand.com/JackieLaurie. So Beta Brand is spelled BETABRAND.com/JackieLaurie for 30% off your order for a limited time. And when you use our special URL, you're supporting our show too. So find out why women are ditching typical work pants for Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants. Go to betabrand.com/JackieLaurie for 30% off.
Jackie, I have put on jeans since we've gotten back into clubs, and it's offensive to my body. I can't wait till it's just a little cooler and I can wear my Beta Brand yoga.
They're
pants.
Super cute and super cozy.
They're sleek and they're comfy and they're nice.
They hang right, you guys.
Yep.
Comic of the week?
Yes.
Comic of the week.
Okay. So this lady I saw at Greenwich Village Comedy Club, worked with her a couple times last weekend, and she's so funny. Her name's Vanessa Jackson.
Vanessa Jackson.
Very charismatic, really funny material. And she's, she's maybe 5 years in. She's one of a newer generation of comics. And
there's so many great new comics coming up.
Oh,
that is so awesome.
Good. And the cool thing is, like, at Greenwich, they have a lot of younger comics doing some of the earlier spots, and some of the later spots, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just, like, observing a new clique, a class. You have your class that you'll always be kind of close to, no matter how insane they get politically.
or if they just weird out, or some of them
have
die.
That in common, right?
Yes.
And so I'm just, listening to, four or five these comics that are all around the same age, all is obsessed with comedy and obsessed with the same things. And so Vanessa was part of that. And it was just kind of cool to listen in and go, oh yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of how I must appear to them, like some just, elderly ghost visiting from another.
Anyway, Vanessa Jackson's Twitter handle is NNESS Lee. So Ness Lee, NNESS LEIGH. And it's Vanessa Jackson Comedy, you know, Twitter, which is how I found her.
Just find, yeah, go Vanessa Jackson Comedian, because you're not going to know how to spell Nestle the way she does it. But
and it'll be in the notes, too.
Instagram as well. So, yeah, she's very funny. Check her out. You know, that guy, the call girl, reminded me of the Comedy Underground, may it rest in peace. They used to have a guy that would sit in the front row and bring books. Like, he'd bring a book and put it in the on the table right in the front row, because the comics would always fuck with him, and he loved it.
There you go.
I was like, wait, you were here last time I was here, and he probably has his favorite sets based on how the comics have fucked with him. Like, he's grading you on how original you are with your book riff, you know, like that. You know what? I'm going to ignore you this time. How do you like
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Hey, open mic is on Sunday. Knock yourself out, buddy.
Go on stage with your book and just sit there and see what
happens. Wrote some jokes, man. That was the other reason I wanted to go to San Jose tonight, was because working on the new stuff with Maria is always, no one's more supportive. She's like, oh, that stuff is so good. There's so much there. And she tagged a bunch of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, or just gave me angles. Like, she gave me one tag, but she also was like, because I'm working on a gun bit.
Yeah.
And I'm working on a gun bit and a suicide bit, you guys. It's just getting more cheerful as we go more into my 50s here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, comedy. But you got to talk about what you know.
Yeah, talk about what you're interested in. Seriously.
It's true. It's all you can do. And so it's too bad I hurt my foot. I really wish my foot didn't hurt, because I want to.
That sucks.
I want to do things. And like, if I could just tell the universe, but like, no, I promise, if I didn't sprain my ankle, I would slow down. I promise you. Yeah. Sadly, the universe didn't believe me. And so we can't go back in time. And so my foot still has issues.
Well, you know, it's to be expected. You're a professional comedian. That's how you make your money. You're going to say yes to gigs. I mean,
yes to gigs.
What the fuck do you want, universe?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing the Laugh Factory Long Beach a week from Saturday, a week from yesterday.
Yeah.
So I have never played it. You played it a bunch, I saw.
I did.
And it's hit and miss, you said. It's, a, you know, it's there's something there.
Here's the thing. It's a really big room. And, you know, if there's not a ton of people in a big room, you know, it's that you're working against the laws of, you know, gravity.
The laws of theaters and numbers. And yeah.
And stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's fun. You know, it's a little more blue collar, because Long Beach is a little more blue collar of a town than, say, Hermosa Beach, which isn't that far away. Mm-hmm. But that crowd is very different from the Long Beach crowd, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, I really like Long Beach. There's like a weird diner in Long Beach that I found one year looking for Boston cream pie, which was what Andy wanted for his birthday. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about a Boston cream pie you may not know. It's not a pie. It's a cake. Oh. It's actually a donut at Dunkin' Donuts, but it's a cake. And it's not a pie. And so I would call different pie places here in Los Angeles and go, do you guys have Boston cream pie? And they're like, no. So I finally just Googled best Boston cream pie, and I found a place called John's Guard Diner Bacon Broil in Long Beach. So we drove down there, and it's cake.
You drove all the way down there for that, and you hadn't had it before?
Nope. But it's supposed to be good. And by the way, the John's Guard Bacon Broil is a delightful. Put in Jackie Laurie.
Which spot do you have at
I believe it's an early spot. I think it's at 8 o'clock.
Guys should just go down there and
go down there and have dinner, and then they have limited outdoor seating too. So
yeah,
there's a new diner in our neighborhood over on Sherman Way and Van Nuys, and I thought it was called the bun of breakfast or something, but it's just called the toasted bun. And I had blueberry pancakes, and it was delicious.
I had a thing happen to me recently,
mm-hmm.
where the comic before me, really bombed.
Oh, just ate it?
And got mad.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, you hate to see it, and you loved it.
Because you're like, no, it's because the thing is the guy, you probably, and it, I assume it was a guy, but I mean, yes. You're like, you've seen him do well.
Oh, yeah.
And he just ate it. And that, quite honestly, is kind of hilarious.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I was thinking about this because, you know, if you're mad about something else in your life, most of the time you're a comedian, you can shut it off and go up on stage. That's how come a lot of comedians that are grieving immediately go on stage and everyone's like, how do they do it? It's like, we're actually pretty good at it. And that gives your grieving brain some time to to rest while your comedy brain does its thing. Right. It's actually kind of good for you. But there's times when whatever is upsetting you or getting into your life, you haven't turned it off. Right. And you're on stage and the crowd isn't great. Mm-hmm. And then the spiral starts. anyway,
and you're kind of screwed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because it's really hard to pull yourself out of it because you went up without being in control. So it's really hard to regain control, when that's happening. Anyway, so I had to go up after this guy and it was just like, I immediately went to jokes. I didn't
talk. Right.
Tell the crowd they sucked, or I didn't say this one normally works.
Right.
Well,
my God.
Like, yeah. It was like that getting them back into the rhythm of jokes. And it was work. It was more work than I had anticipated. And honestly, quite felt like I wanted
and
to.
Was it a
in.
Longer like, set?
Well, I was like, you know, here's what I wanted to try this thing out and work on this, right? I have my little to-do list and then I'm watching what's happening going, I'm next. Okay. So now I'm just going to mop things up. That's what I'm doing now. That's my role. And I don't know. It was just like there, you know, I understand when that happens. Like it can happen to any comic, right?
Like, it can happen to any comic.
Other people going after you.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you think there are comics who don't register what's happening on the stage before them and then are just like, I need to work on this shit. I'm just going to work on this shit. Cause I do that too, where I'm just like, oh, now I can't work on my stuff. I got to make sure. Cause I feel bad for the audience a little bit. Cause they think,
right.
Cause I want them to have a good time.
Yeah. They've been told they suck for 20 minutes. Yeah.
Right. So- That's not. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I guess I have to recreate the wheel here, and I have to make sure they know that stand-up is fun.
I honestly felt like it was deliberate because it was so I don't know it.
Yeah, how hard
like
that
it was
Kim
a deliberate attempt to sandbag me, if that's possible. I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, and sometimes you get in your head about that. Like I was just like, there's no way that guy could have sucked as bad as he did every show without trying. Well, what I mean, the thing, why would that? Nobody's gonna look it up. It doesn't, can't possibly matter. But
don't,
I mean, the thing is,
part, guys.
Okay, and don't make this one of the clips.
Yeah, this should not be a clip on Twitter.
Because here's the thing about the clips. The clips that are done. That's how it's nice if we're saying something nice about you. Please clip that out.
Yeah,
because then that's because nobody's because the people who aren't listening to this who then are clipped out.
Yeah,
that's nice for them. Then they don't have to listen to the whole show.
Yeah,
the people where you're just like, well, you were kind of eating it every show with your weird 1996 premises. And nobody wants that clipped out. Don't clip that.
No, I mean, any kind of clip, and we're just talking to Kyle and Ray right now. If you feel that clip will hurt our careers, there's no need to.
I've cut out many things you didn't say to cut to protect your careers.
Kyle's got our backs, you guys.
Go back to check the tapes where I shake my head and go, ooh.
Not happening.
It was an interesting. I hadn't witnessed one of those in a long time. And all of us that were watching in the back were like, and then like a joke was repeated. It was a true meltdown. And
makes you sympathetic, But you're also just way, like, what is happening in a way? Yeah.
And God bless her, did like 5 minutes of material. Like she was trying to put the train back on the tracks. And then I went up and did material. And then, you know.
And then it was back. Yeah.
Maybe. But I think back-ish as much as it could be, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, I think. Here's the good news, a lateral. Here's the good news. I'm not going on the road again till October 15th.
Ooh.
If you're sick of constantly arguing with the people closest to you about topics that really aren't going to change the world, we're here to take that stress off of your shoulders. We take care of it for you on We Got This with Mark and Hal.
That's right, Hal. If you have a subjective question that you want answered objectively, once and for all time, for all of the people of the world, questions like, who's the best Disney villain, Mac or PC, or should you put ketchup on a hot dog? That's why we're here.
Yes, I get that these are the biggest questions of our time, and we're often joined by special guests like Nathan Fillion, Orlando Jones, and Paget Brewster. So let Mark and Hal take care of it for you on We Got This with Mark and Hal, weekly on Maximum Fun.
So I am definitely going to rest. And I'm going to do, you know, I mean, we have our albums coming out.
Yeah.
And we have, and I've got a couple more leads on people to submit the video to at places.
Cool.
And in the hopes. And the video's done. The video's done.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I have, let's see, I'm at the Creek in Creek and Cave in Austin, November 26th through 28th, the 3 days after Thanksgiving.
Oh, God.
December 3rd.
Yeah, I'm in Arkansas, and that's November, though, right?
Arkansas. Oh
yeah, I'm doing that Lowell room.
You and I are both tempting fate. Oh, my God. Yeah. We got to get those boosters. I'm at the Fort Collins room December 3rd and 4th.
Oh, nice.
And oh, mate, you know what? And then my son's father is going to be out of I had to, get childcare. One thing my mother gave me, not while I was home, but – she gave me independence where I could just be like, I'm leaving town. You're gonna
be not when I was home.
Right? And I'm like, oh, I got to make sure someone's with him.
You can't leave a 14-year-old.
You can't, he'll be 15. You can't leave a 15-year-old alone for the weekend. And also he's not like the 15-year-olds that worked in the salt mines in the 1800s. You know, he's a kid and he's been home with me for a year and a half, you know? So he's used to people being around. He's not like a hard and tough and teenager like some of you people were, apparently. I'm sure I'm going to hear from. So it's just like, and the dog and places don't take pit bulls. And I'm like, oh right. My God, every road gig's going to cost me $400 to do again. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
And then I met New Year's Eve. I met 31st and I think the 1st. I met Burlington Comedy Club in Vermont.
That's right.
In Burlington.
Because they're just
come
opening.
On out. You've got a very low positivity rate. It's going to be awesome. Well, it'll be a totally COVID-free night of fucking comedy.
Right. You know it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have to say that, I'm going to with Maria to Chicago in October. And then, I don't know, Zanies? Some theater probably.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No, hopefully not. Zanies. And then I'm doing, you know, I'm literally home until the 15th of October, which is it's almost 6 weeks. And I'm hoping actually to do a bunch of sitting around local sets, revisit my vision board,
right?
Maybe do some writing.
Yeah.
And see if anybody, and see what happens, what that's like, you know? I mean, I want October 16th is still a month before the album comes out. You know, I'm in that freaking limbo, you know. Yours comes out the 26th, I believe, October 26th, and I think, and you know, and we'll be talking about, I don't know about pre-ordering, I don't know when that all begins, but I know that it's mostly done, and I'm talking to the marketing people over at 800 Pound Gorilla, and they seem to have. Holy smokes, do they have their shit. I was like,
I know.
You guys know how to do this, huh? Good for you. Yeah. And so here's something that she told me that I will pass on to people out there who have the professional. So Pandora there's an artist profile that you can get if you are an artist, if they play any of your albums. So on your artist profile, you could do 15-second free ads. And the 15-second free ads that you do on this AMP, AMP, it's called Pandora AMP. Yeah. And but you could do ads for your road. You could do ads for your website. You could do ads for your podcast, because the Dork Forest is also on Pandora. I don't know if Jackie and Laurie is. I know it's on Spotify. I don't think it's on Pandora. But and you can change links and websites and pictures, but you can attach them to certain tracks. And what 800 told me was that attaching them to certain tracks is key, is a good thing to do. And tell the people that are listening that if they like it, to like it, right? To thumbs up it.
I know, but I listened to some sample ones, and just to hear comics I really respect, I went, so give it a thumbs up, guys. Like me, please. Was like, made me sad. And then I'm like, I'll do that. I'll do it too. I mean, what are we up there for? We're trying to get liked, right?
Right. As Lewis Lee once told me, he's like, "What you have room for pride? You don't have any room for pride. You're a comic."
And, I'm at Acme December 8th through 11th.
Are you?
Yeah.
You pick up an Acme set? Awesome.
I did. Yeah, yeah. I think it's a Wednesday through.
Yeah, yeah. It is a Wednesday through Saturday. And Sabados. Good call.
I went to the premiere of a movie. A documentary. I'm in the Too Soon documentary, which is jokes about comedy after 9/11.
Okay.
And so they had a premiere. It's on Vice TV, but they had a premiere. Julie Seba had a premiere at the Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. And so I brought my son.
Neat.
And, you know, I was
you
up
to see the hands. You get to see the hands and feet. Yeah.
Green. The hands and feet of what? Oh,
yeah,
maybe. I think that's Grauman, which is across the street.
Okay. Oh, it's the other one. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. But I was happy with what I had until you brought up the question.
When is it? So is it going to be only released in theaters, or are they going to
stream it? No, it's on Vice TV right now. You can watch
it
if you are a subscriber, I think. I don't know. You can figure it out.
Awesome.
But it was interesting. You know, I mean, she brought up a lot of stuff and interviewed a lot of people, and then I kept thinking of people that, oh, this person would have been great, you know. But I mean, you only have 90 minutes, you know. You gotta, ugh, it's ruthless. You gotta edit shit out. I am outraged that my lighting was terrible and Gilbert Gottfried looked younger than me. What the fuck?
Oh man!
What the fuck? So
did they put the Friars Club thing for Gilbert into that movie as well? Because that should
be
shown.
Yeah, they put the Comedy Central roast in. Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw it in The Aristocrats when I saw the Aristocrats.
Yeah.
And it was epic. I mean, mm-hmm. You have never seen somebody dig a bigger hole in their whole lives, weeks after 9/11. Mm-hmm. Gilbert Gottfried making jokes about his plane having to stop off at the Empire State Building. and then just him looking, and you can see it in his eyes.
Yeah.
You can see the rage. Yeah. It is one of my favorite things where you're watching someone who you guys been doing stand-up for 40 years, right? Or 20.
Well, longer, probably longer. Right?
A million years, right? In 2001, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, maybe.
So I could see the, like, just the flicker where he was just like, oh, screw it.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah. All of you. All of you.
That's somebody who's in control of their emotions. So he didn't have a meltdown.
I mean,
he definitely could have, and many lesser comics would have if they had been given that audience response to that joke. But he's in control of himself, and he mm-hmm. went further and mm-hmm. saved his ass. It was awesome.
God, it was just epic. Then he did that Aristocrats. And it was filthy. The Aristocrats joke itself. I liked in the movie The Aristocrats. My favorite version of it might have been. I can't.
Hold on.
Remember.
Let me type mine in. Let me see if you agree.
Okay.
Ooh, it's exciting.
Oh wow. I can't remember her. So no.
Oh, okay.
I think mine was the mime.
Oh, I like that one a lot, too.
Billy it the was Mime. So weird.
Billy the Mime.
Yeah, Billy the Mime was so odd that it was, yeah.
Well, I loved Wendy Liebman's because it was clean. Yeah. And I was like, it was different.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. That was great.
It
was
and I liked
it was like in her wheelhouse and it stood out to me in the movie because everyone else's wasn't. And
yeah, right. I also enjoyed Jon Stewart going, I'm not doing it. That was also fantastic. I also enjoyed that a great deal. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, he was in that documentary a lot. There were some comedians of notorious reputation also.
Oh, in the Too Soon thing?
Yeah.
Oh, they were sitting there not being egged or tomatoed or anything?
So Louis C.K. was in it. I mean, that, you know, the masturbating between the first and the second time, that is a great joke. It's a great joke. You got to put it in. It's a great joke. The guy is a dick, but he writes great jokes.
And he used to change lives. And now and I've said it before, I'll say it until he dies. The punishment for Louis C.K. will be his fan base.
Yeah, I agree.
And 9/11, did you see that Evan Hansen is coming out?
I missed the first run at this in pop culture.
It's the Steve Ranazzisi. It's the Steve Ranazzisi story, essentially. What? It's Evan Hansen. Evan Hansen is essentially, he lies, he does the big lie, and then he doubles down, and then he triples down, and then he reveals...
On 9/11?
No, on Steve Ranazzisi, hero of 9/11, did it on 9/11. He also, on his website, when that came out, it also came out that he was lying about what college he went to.
Steve Ranazzisi or Evan?
Yeah. Steve Ranazzisi was going to, he went to a SUNY, right? He just went to a state university in New York.
Yeah.
And he said he went to Purchase.
But that's a downgrade, I think.
I don't even know. I don't even care. It's just compulsive lying is what it is.
Please just lie better. I mean, at this point, that's all I ask of comics. Lie better.
Well, my lying was always pretty mediocre. And when I...
Oh, wow. We're just going hard cut.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.